This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com. This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.
After three seasons of Indian matchmaking, Netflix has come out with a new show, Jewish Matchmaking. Aliza Ben Shalom grew up in Philadelphia, not quite that Jewish, but married her husband two decades ago, moved to Israel, and became super religious. She has five children and is now a professional matchmaker with over 200 weddings under her belt. Is that right?
Yes.
That's amazing. She stars in this new hit reality show that dropped in the beginning of May. I'm so excited to have you to Misunderstood. Thank you for joining us, Aliza.
Thank you for having me.
So where have you been? Where are you coming from?
Flew in yesterday from Israel, here in New York for a couple days, and then heading to Philly to do some events, and then coming back next week to New York to do a big event.
Amazing. Okay, so did I get that whole intro right? Did you grow up in the United States?
Yes.
Tell me about that and how you met your husband.
So I was born and raised in Philadelphia. I'm the oldest of three children, and my husband and I met at a Jewish singles retreat. It was down in Orlando. We left the retreat. We were each dating other people.
Oh, wow.
Then we broke up. A couple months later, we started dating. You're not going to believe this. We dated for 3 weeks. We got engaged, and 4 months later, we got married. And 20 years later, we're still married.
Wow. Well, how did you know that quick?
Right. That's the big question. How do you have clarity, and how do you know that it's your person? Mm-hmm. So that, to me, that's like the essence of the work that I do, is knowing who your person is. Mm-hmm. So I have different criteria that I run people through. We want to know the qualities that they're looking for, the personality that they want. We want to know about the fears, the things that trigger them, mm-hmm. or the things that they really value. That's what's very important to them. And we need to measure that against what works for us. Who am I? What do I want? Who are you? And how do you match or mismatch me?
Right.
And by going through a whole process of what I would call soulmate clarity, which is my signature program for how you know, that's how people tune into, you know, the messages, what my head is thinking, what my heart is feeling. Mm-hmm. But it's things you can't see.
Right.
You can't see your thinking. You can't see your feelings. You can experience them, but to visually represent it, to understand what's going on in your relationship and make a decision, yes, you're my person, no, you're not, it's very difficult to do. So I have a system that you can actually see what that, like, you can see your thinking.
Right. That's amazing. So I have so many questions about that. But first, how did you get into matchmaking?
I think I was always a networker, a connector, a bridge between people. Mm-hmm. And I grew up secular. And so in the beginning, I would just try to set up my friends. It was kind of just something that came very naturally and intuitively to me. Mm-hmm. And then when I became observant in my mid-20s, I had two little kids at home. And I started out as a matchmaker on an online dating website. And the website only has matchmakers. Mm-hmm. And on that website, you can just be set up by a matchmaker, or you just sit and wait. There's no swiping. You don't look for yourself. And so I started to set people up that way. And I was like, ooh, this is good. This is fun. And then I would call them. I would coach them. I would mentor them. For me, it was a whole process. It wasn't just being what I would call an introducer and sticking two people together and going, ooh, I hope for the best.
Right.
But actually helping them navigate their relationship.
How do you get that pool of people? Because I've had matchmakers come to me before, and the reason I've always been hesitant is because I know that people that are men, let's say, that are going to the matchmaker pretty much are single for a reason, right? You know, they have probably not fixed those patterns. And the reason why I may be still single is because I haven't fixed the right patterns, or I haven't found the right person. But, you know, when people are going to you and telling you what they want, isn't that sort of part of the problem? Because a lot of us have a bad picker. I know I have a bad picker. So like, how would you know when to kind of not look at what they're telling you and when you know better? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a hard balance, right? My mm-hmm. internal judgment, my gut instinct, I like your language of like a bad picker mm-hmm. versus having somebody else make a decision for you.
Yeah.
So I first want to say, I don't think that anybody going to a matchmaker or looking for somebody in the world themselves, there's something wrong. Everybody has stuff, right? We've got the good stuff. Yay, that's what we love about each other. We've got the other stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that you're like, okay, I'll take it. It comes with. It's not what I love.
Yeah.
But I don't think that inherently people, you know, oh, this one has a problem, that's their problem. If they fix this, then they can get married. No, we all have our own story. We have our own situation. Mm-hmm. And either my story is going to match and be okay with you, or it's not necessarily going to match and be okay with you. And therefore, I need to just be open to what the possibilities are. So working with a matchmaker, to me, actually levels it up, because whatever's been going on, if somebody's not in a good place, we'll help them to, right, look better, feel better, think better. If somebody needs therapy or support, they get it. Not from us, but they go outside and get it, because we say, hey, you're not in a good place to receive a match. So we want you to be, mm-hmm. and let us help you to get there by making a referral and getting you the services you need.
So why, for anyone listening, why should somebody use a matchmaker as opposed to going online and figuring it out themselves? We're in like this swipe culture that everybody is online now. I don't really go to bars and sit around and wait right. to meet people. And, you know, for me, I like online dating because you can tell if you have chemistry without knowing if you have chemistry with what they look like.
Right.
I really love if somebody gives good phone or gives good text, is what I like to say, right? Because then you can see if they banter with you, if they're right. available, if they're real, if they get your humor. And I think it's great to kind of fall for the personality before you see if you're annoyed with the way they hold their fork.
I love that.
You do? Oh, good. So I love online dating. It works for me, but I'm single. So it doesn't completely work, because as you say in your show, you know, all the people you date are not working until you find your one, right?
Right.
So it's obviously not working for me.
Right.
So tell people why you think a matchmaker is better than us looking ourselves.
Well, I'm not sure all the time that you need a matchmaker. You need somebody to be the matchmaker, but do you need a professional matchmaker is the question.
Mm.
So we also have things like a course called Be Your Own Matchmaker, which means, how about if I just teach you everything that I know, right? You maybe say you have a bad picker, right? But what if I could help you to actually have a good picker? If I could give you two or three tips or ways of identifying your person. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like having the database, the Rolodex, you know, your apps, whatever you're doing.
Right.
But if you knew how to search with my eyes, you'd mm-hmm. probably get better results. And then you might not need to work with me. You can be your own matchmaker.
Right.
Somebody would want and need a matchmaker when they don't want to do it themselves. It's like a headhunter. Like, I could get myself a job, but I'm tired. I don't want to put out my dating profile. I don't want to swipe. I have dating fatigue. It's annoying. The whole process is irritating. It's like a second job, which it is.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to do it anymore. Somebody just do me a favor. You know what? Let me have my matchmaker, who's my PR person. You send me on a date, right? I'll get ready and I'll show up and you do all the effort. So when you don't want to do the effort on your own, hire a matchmaker. If you're a DIY, I can handle it, then we'll teach you how to be your own matchmaker and give you better tools and skills.
Right. Got it. Okay. So for the people that are in new relationships right now, what would you say are the signs of a successful one?
A successful relationship is when we have, yes, we need good chemistry. We need to have our values aligned. What I want, what you want, we're heading in a similar direction, and there's enough of a match that's there. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure, especially, that whatever's going on for me internally, my fears, the things that bother me about you, we're all going to be triggered, right? But if we're going to talk about a trigger meter, so we want you to be at low or a tolerable level, but you can't be highly triggered. So you know those relationships are together and like, we love each other, but we love to hate each other. And they like banter, but they fight all the time. Yeah. And you're like, I don't know if you should be together. Yeah, you probably shouldn't. Mm-hmm. You should probably break up. You don't, either that or you should get better skills for communicating with your partner. Mm-hmm. And when we do those things, then we can elevate our relationship. But if you're spiking out, it's not a healthy relationship.
What have you found in all the time you've spent with couples or individuals as well? What are the two biggest qualities people are looking for in a relationship?
A lot of people want respect. Mm-hmm. I want to be respected for who I am. I want you to understand who I am. I want you to, it all goes also around connecting to me. Like a part of respect is all tied into that. Okay. And the other thing is that people make an effort and they want to receive effort from the other side. So not that it's one for one, because relationships don't work that way. But in Judaism, we know that the root of the word love in Hebrew, ahava, is to give. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel, I'm giving, but my partner's not giving back to me. Well, sometimes they're giving, but they're not giving in the way that you want to receive.
Right.
That's a problem. Or sometimes they're really not giving. They're not such a generous human, and it's difficult for them. So I think that giving is at the root of building a relationship, building love, and having it last for a lifetime.
Is there a common thing that you think holds people back from being in a successful relationship? Like, for example, when I was watching the show, and as I know from, you know, being a human, a lot of people are mostly attracted at the beginning to things that maybe they shouldn't be. So right. They're looking a lot at looks, or they have a type that they think is super attractive, and it's all about what they think is the chemistry right off the bat. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think that we initially look for a match with our eyes. Mm-hmm. And I love what you said, right? Like, I want to have a phone or a text conversation. It's almost like the, you know, pod dating and not seeing anybody. And mm-hmm. I want to connect with your insides, and then I want to see your outsides and come to appreciate who you are.
Right.
But it takes patience. It takes time. It takes a little bit of tweaking, meaning for me, it's going to be a slow grow sometimes, because you might meet somebody in person and you might have fallen in love with the inside and feel deeply connected, but on the outside you're going,
yeah,
not exactly my look, not exactly what I wanted. Like, oh, there are people that are more beautiful than you out there. Maybe I should keep looking. Mm-hmm. But if they treat you really well, then there aren't people that are going to be more beautiful on the inside, and you should consider sticking with them.
It's so true, because I have dated men who started as friends for, you know, like been friends with them for like a year, and
those are the best, by the way.
Yes.
You should marry one of them.
To have a friend first.
Yes.
And because then they know everything about you, right?
And they love you, and they accept you for who you are, and they actually deeply care about you.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of leveling the relationship up.
Right. And there's like no secrets, kind of. You know who they've dated. You know what they like and what they don't like. And you end up being together. But I dated, you know, people in the past where I've dated them for I've been friends with them for a long amount of time. And then they become so much more attractive to me. And the reason why I didn't date them at the beginning was because I didn't find them attractive at all.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you find that you're like so in love with this person, and you don't even see this person that might be as ugly as a troll. But like, you know, that doesn't matter at all. They're so beautiful to you, and they make you feel so good. And it doesn't matter if a supermodel's next to them. Right. That's your person. And that's happened to me, where I've really been in love with someone who is not the most attractive person in the room, but just makes me feel so good and is so funny, or they have great qualities like that.
Exactly.
I think that's really important. So how did you get on the show?
a matchmaker.
Really?
One of my matchmaker colleagues, we were doing webinars and we were doing trainings. We also do trainings for matchmakers and coaches. We were doing singles, online dating events a lot during Corona. And she calls me and she goes, Aliza, there's this show and casting called me. I don't want to be on it, but we've been doing these videos together and you're good on the spot. They could ask you anything and you just have an answer. You should do it. I gave them your number.
Oh my gosh.
So a matchmaker made the match.
And were you hesitant or you're like, yeah, I'm in?
I said, I want to know more. Mm-hmm. I want to hear, you know, what's the company and what's the show and what's the angle, what's the direction. When I heard it was about Indian matchmaking, it was the spinoff of that. And it was going to be the Jewish matchmaking show. I had already binged the show. And I said, wow, they did that so beautifully. Mm-hmm. The production company, they do it from a docu-reality style. So it's really documentary style. They want the truth. They want to know what's going on behind the scenes. But it's still a reality show. And I said, you know what? That's the perfect blend. And there's always an amount of hesitation because everybody has rights to do it once you sign on the dotted line. Mm-hmm. They could do anything to you. But I knew the intention behind it.
Right.
And I said, okay, well, if I hold myself to my own standard and I represent myself well and I pray really hard, I think it's going to turn out well.
That's great. And it did. As I was telling you before we started, I watched the first episode and then binged the seven other ones because it was so good. I couldn't stop. And I'm not a full Jew. So it's for anyone who you don't have to be Jewish to be watching it. So did you cast this group yourself or was there help from Netflix?
So they did a open casting call and took everybody in. And then, you know, they had their top picks, but they did run ideas by me and said, you know, what do you think and who would you like to work with? Okay. And so it was a collaborative process. They ultimately make the final decision of who my main clients are that I'm working with.
Okay.
But in terms of the daters and once I set people up, I could choose from my own database, from anybody in the whole world, and it was just a matter of who was really a good match.
Okay, so the couples that we see on the show and the individuals, are they all people that you actually picked to be with that exact person?
Right, okay. So some of them, just for example, Stuart dated Pamela. Mm-hmm. She's a comedian. She does advocacy work. And I had met her like 8 years ago at an event. And I was like, you are fabulous. Can I set you up? She's like, I'm not dating now. And I called her back. And I was like, okay, now I want to set you up. But can you do it on television?
Right. And was she nervous?
She said, what? And then we dug into it a little bit more. And because I have a good relationship with people and people know me and they trust me, they say, okay, if you're in and you're the matchmaker, then I'll be in. I believe that if you're doing something, it's going to be good. It's going to be kosher, so to speak. And I would be proud and happy to be a part of it.
Right. Oh, that's great. So you bring up a lot of sort of quotes in your show. Tell me about date him till you hate him.
First of all, do not misunderstand me, right? Yeah. Misunderstood. Yeah. I don't ever want anybody to hate anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just a very loving, playful way to say, give somebody a chance. Mm-hmm. Like you said, let them grow on you. Let me have a phone conversation and connect to the person and the personality before my eyes feast on you because the eyes are very deceiving. We like what we see. You're always going to see somebody more appealing than you, whatever you have, even when you get married. It doesn't go away. It's not like you're going to get married and your person will be the most appealing person to you. You will still look around and go,
Right.
Hot. He's just hot. You know, you're just to tell you, that's not going to go away.
Yeah.
But the value in the person that you have exponentially goes up and it always increases. And you go, wow, loving, supportive, caring, kind partner. This person is by my side. They get me. They know me. They love me. I love them. We've built so much together. Wow. And that there is nothing more appealing than
that. And they're like a witness to your life. I love that concept
kind of.
My issue is that I will go out on one date with somebody and if it isn't like sparks and I feel like I've known them forever, I'm like, forget it. I'm not giving them a second chance. I'm like a total shredder of men, you know, and I'm not fair. It's really.
Are you willing to change that?
Can we work on that? Yes, I would love to work on that with you. But that's definitely my issue that I feel like they're there's no need for a second date. So I loved learning from your show that I really need to give people a chance, because of course, how would I know them after 2
right.
hours?
That's just ridiculous. And maybe for you, starting on the phone or with texting is a good thing, because yes. it's kind of like a love is blind thing where we don't see each other. You maybe have seen a photo, so you know something, but I would tell you also, don't Google stalk them. Just right. let it be. Get to know the person and see if there's chemistry. And then when you meet them in person and you're like, woo, it throws you for a loop. I've had people that I've worked with over years and I haven't seen them. I just have virtually spoken to them. And then when I see them in person, my brain actually, I'm like, wait, talk. I'm closing my eyes. Talk. Oh, okay. Oh, there you are. Right. And then I open my eyes and I'm like, oh, your face does not look familiar to me. You don't feel comfortable to me. But right. when I close my eyes, I feel you. I know you. So I would tell you to try that.
Okay, thank you. You also talk in the show about the no touching rule. I'll tell everybody about that. And I'm not going to botch the way you say it. How do you say it?
It's called Shomer Nigia.
Okay.
And it's about guarding our touch. And I think this gets like a lot of kickback and people are like, what? Because I know what people are doing. They're sleeping with each other on a first, second, or a third date. And that's just what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
So I introduce this as a challenge to anybody and to the entire world, and I will challenge you also. You can decide to take it or not. Try dating somebody and tell them, you know, I'm following Aliza's cockamamie crazy little thing, and we're not going to touch for 5 dates. If we still choose to date each other after 5 dates, whatever happens, Aliza looks away. But try dating and don't touch each other for 5 dates. Number one, if you like them, you'll still like them after 5 dates. Mm-hmm. If you restrain and hold yourself back, what happens? Actually, the sexual chemistry and the tension between you builds.
Right.
So as much as you're drawn to the person on a first, a second, a third date, by the 5th date, if you have not touched them, you're going to be going crazy if it's an excellent match. And what I know is you touched hearts first. Mm. I know you like each other. I know you like the personality. And I know you like what's going on because you didn't touch them. And you stuck around for 5 dates. And if you don't like them, so why do I have to be touching everybody in the world? Like, you don't have access to me. It's kind of like, you know, like you go to a celebrity party and not everybody gets to meet and greet and shake hands.
Right.
You just like wave from afar and take a photo, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. We meet and greet, and if we have a connection, great. After 5 dates, if there's something there, I did you a favor, because the chemistry that you're going to have on date 6, I'm just telling you, it's better than any date 2.
I get it, but I think, do a lot of women complain to you that, oh, I'm not sure the guy will stay around that long? I mean, there's so many
options.
Yeah,
and do you know what all the men tell me? Because I work with tons of men. They're like, if I'm interested, oh, yeah. They go, I would stick around for 10 dates.
Wow.
10 dates. They would stay around for any amount of time. If you don't want to do 5 dates, try 3. If you can't handle 3, try 2. It's a concept, but I'm just telling you, it lures people in and it draws them in. It also separates the men from the boys and the, you know, girls from the women.
If you
also don't know. How else are you going to gain clarity?
Right.
Do you know if you like them because you like how they touched you on the inside or on the outside? Hmm. I know after 5 dates, you like both. I know.
Got it.
I know, because you'll end up touching and hopefully that'll work and you'll have already connected personality, values, goals. And if you're not busy touching, you are going to be busy talking.
This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese, and every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com. This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer, and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese, and every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter. Because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.
Now, may I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Did you follow that with your husband?
I did.
Wow.
I did. So we date, well, so, and we had a short, in, you know, dating engagement here, but we dated for 3 weeks. We got engaged, and the first time that we touched was under the wedding canopy. After, like, at the end of the Jewish ceremony, you break a glass, and it's like, mazel tov, everybody's so excited. They take the bride and the groom off to a private room, but just before that, he grabbed my hand. He held my hand. Forget about a first kiss. He held my hand, and I was like, oh.
Wow.
It was a moment. It was, imagine marrying somebody that you never touched. Everybody, try it before you buy it.
No, wow, that's amazing. I love that you're still together. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, 20 years.
So you talked earlier about the word soulmates. Do you believe in soulmates?
Absolutely. 100%. We're a body and we're a soul. Otherwise, what are we? We're just a body in this world. Soulmates, in the name of what it is, says that we exist more than just where we live today. Mm. And that there's a connection.
Now, do you think everyone only has one? And if they've missed out on this one,
nope.
It's all over? So tell me about that.
So you can only have one soulmate at a time.
Okay.
But as long as, like, when you get married, that's your soulmate. In that minute that you decide that you're going to get married, this is your person, you go through the whole ceremony, the end of the ceremony, that is your person, that is your soulmate. Mm-hmm. Before then, they're just a potential soulmate. So if you're dating somebody, you're like, this is my soulmate, we're going to get married. No, actually, the proper language is that it's your potential soulmate. Mm. You choose to get married. In that moment, it is your soulmate. If there's a divorce or somebody passes away or whatever, now your soulmate's no longer here or no longer with you in this world. You can choose to be with somebody else, and then you have another soulmate.
Amazing. Okay, I love that idea. Who were some of your favorites on the show?
I love everybody.
Well, let me rephrase it. Is there one couple that you're rooting for or you'd like to see? And it doesn't have to be a couple, but was there an individual too that was your favorite that you really want to see get married?
I think that Shia and Faye, who are the observant Orthodox couple that's on the show.
They were my favorite, by the way.
I think everybody is rooting for them. Mm-hmm. First of all, a lot of people said to me, Aliza, I thought this was an Orthodox dating show. Mm-hmm. I said, no, this is a Jewish matchmaking show and we have Jews from all over. But the expectation was that there was going to be a lot of Orthodox dating, and then there ended up being one Orthodox couple and other traditional couples.
Yeah.
And so I think people were looking for that moment, and they just had a beautiful interaction. You could see that there was chemistry, that there was playfulness on the screen, that there was just something there, and to me, we were all rooting for them.
Yeah. I also liked Noah. I felt like he needs an impressive woman because his mom is a diplomat, right? Is that
right? Noah from Israel,
right?
From
yes.
Tel Aviv.
I really liked him. And we don't see at the end if he ends up with the girl. And now I'm forgetting
because
he went on 3 dates,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
She was beautiful. But I felt like for him, he needs like a really impressive woman or girl.
He needs somebody who can carry themselves. Mm-hmm. And for me, I met him and I got like a little bit of a backstory. You get a little profile, a mini video, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you want me to have a Jewish matchmaking show and you want, like, you know, a mazel tov to come out of this, and you're setting me up with somebody who's like, you know, a party boy, 24, Tel Aviv.
Yeah, yeah.
And I met him and he was so mature in his thinking, in how he presented himself. Mm-hmm. He really leveled up and I was very impressed by him. But I totally agree with you that he needs somebody who can carry herself,
yeah,
because he carries himself very well.
That, and also because he comes from growing up knowing his mother was so powerful. I think
right.
you kind of associate
right.
one with the other. So is there going to be a reunion? Are we going to find out where everybody is today?
There will be an update online, mm-hmm. and I think it should come out shortly.
Okay, good.
to so give you the scoop.
We will look for that. What is your advice for people still looking right now?
I would love if people would do a reassessment, right? Take a look in the mirror, not who you were, not where you came from. Don't tell me what your mother wants for you or your sister or your best friend. Mm-hmm. Who are you today? What do you really want? And in the next 2 years, what are you willing to do to make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
For some people, they're going to say, oh, I've been doing everything. Okay, great. Go on a vacation. You need a break. Other people, they're like, well, I haven't been so serious about it. I really need to focus on it. Great. Focus on it. If you've done a good amount of things, level up.
Mm.
Online, if you're online, because most people are, the algorithm doesn't recognize you as new because probably your photo's been there for 2 or 3 years or at least 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. I would tell people to put on new photos every 3 months. Okay. I would tell them to switch the write-up and the little catchphrase that they say, whatever it is about themselves, switch that approximately every 3 months, but alternate. So in 3 months, switch your photo, wait another month and a half or two, switch the write-up. The algorithm then is like, ooh, like new information. You almost appear like a new person, and then you get promoted a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm a techie or anything, but that's what we've been doing, and that's what seems to work online. Mm-hmm. And if you need support, get support, either matchmaking or coaching support, or be your own matchmaker. We can train you how to do exactly what we're doing so that you, again, level up and that you're really smart about the process.
So like many people listening, I'm on my second act of life. I'm not young like a lot of people in your show. I'm 48. I've been divorced twice. I did marry a Jewish man, so I'm used to the whole chuppah thing and whatever. But I am, you know, only half Jewish. I have a kid. I have two dogs. Is it too late for us? Is there hope
no.
for someone like me?
My oldest client was 89 and she fell in love.
No way.
Yes.
Did she get married?
I don't know that they got married, but they were dating and they were, you know,
In a couple.
They were a couple.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and so it's never too late.
Never, 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 never. As long as you want it, you should go for it.
And there's someone for everyone, right?
Of course. There's more than one someone you could, there's a lot of people you could pick.
Okay, good. I hope that my match is out there listening right now. Where can people find you if they want a matchmaker?
They can find me at my website at marriagemindedmentor.com. Or if that's too confusing, just do elizabenshalom.com. It'll redirect you and get you there.
Do you have to be Jewish? Do you accept shiksas?
So we work with Jewish clients for the matchmaking piece because our network is strongest there. Mm-hmm. But we collaborate and work with we have over 1,000 matchmakers in our reach across the world globally. Mm-hmm. And we have Jewish and non-Jewish matchmakers. So if you want matchmaking and we can't support you, then we will refer you out to one of our friends. If you want coaching support or being your own matchmaker, anybody can do that. You don't have to be Jewish for those services. We don't have a large enough pool outside of the Jewish network.
Right.
So we bring in our non-Jewish matchmaking friends.
Right. Did you love doing the show?
Loved it. It was probably the best job ever.
Oh, good. Do you think there's going to be a second season?
I do.
Oh, good. I'm so happy.
Secretly hoping and praying, but yes, I think that there's been a lot of love and a lot of support for the show. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people rooting and cheering everybody on.
Yeah.
So
and
how
I
could
just,
you not fall in love with love?
Of course. And I just want to say, like, you do not have to be Jewish to watch the show,
no.
to like the show. I grew up Presbyterian, even though I'm half Jewish. And I, again, as I said, I binged the whole thing. I thought it was great. You really fall in love with the characters. You're really rooting for them. You can kind of see, like, oh, I can tell what they're doing wrong, and
right,
I wish I
right.
could jump through the TV and like yell at them or shake them or whatever, but they're so interesting. And the concept of love and finding the one is, you know, everyone believes in that. You don't have to just be Jewish. So
exactly.
Even though it's called Jewish matchmaking, I don't want to dissuade anyone from watching it if they're not
it's
Jewish.
It's for the world. It's
yeah,
for
and
everybody.
And it's so educational, too, because you're
a lot of tips.
You tell a lot of stuff about the Jewish religion, all the religions, and how interesting they are. And these people are just a great gamut of the whole spectrum.
There's also a lot of dating tips and tools mm-hmm. that aren't specifically only for Jewish people. They're universal dating things. So if you want to know how to date better, date smarter, and get better results, watch, and then you'll see all my tips.
Exactly. So you can watch Jewish Matchmaking. It's out now on Netflix. It's binge-worthy, so make sure you check it out. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer, and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese, and every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.